Can y'all stay with me? Is that okay? You guys just hang with me. You may be seated in this room if you can. God, thank you for what you're about to do. Father, I thank you for moments like this. I thank you, God, that it's never church as usual. I thank you that you're alive. I thank you that your word's alive. I thank you that you're going to break bondages. I thank you that you're going to lift burdens. I thank you that the load we've been carrying today gets shifted onto you. I thank you today for salvations, God, for those who came in one way but are going to leave another, just like you did for me 17 years ago. If there's anybody here that's not ready to stand before you, God, this day in the name of Jesus, draw them to you by your goodness. Let your goodness lead them to repentance. I thank you that it's done. You said if any two of us ask anything in your name, you would do it. I thank you that it's done and all God's people said. Give him praise one more time in Jesus' name. Now, God has created you with a divine destiny. Somebody say, I have a destiny. Destiny, then, is the purpose for which you are created. You hear many preachers talk about destiny, but very few will define it for you. Destiny is the reason for which God has created you. We've been talking about that this summer. As a matter of fact, we've been talking about things in terms of a cruise ship. And last week, John and Jen and their family went on a cruise. He's got a good-looking tan, don't he? I said earlier, he looks like a used car salesman today. But you know, that tan, he got that in Tawanda yesterday. He didn't get that on the cruise. But you know, in 1870, there was a man by the name of Samuel Plimsoll, a member of the British Parliament from the industrial Midlands. And he demanded the creation of a safety limit on ships called a load line to limit the weight of the cargo that was loaded aboard ships because so many of them were sinking. And so this line on the ship that said you cannot load the ship down any farther than this came to be known as a Plimsoll mark. Somebody say Plimsoll mark. Plimsoll. And the Plimsoll mark is about finding balance. How many of you know that victory can only be found through a balanced life? Victory is not, amen. Thank you for all one of you. How many of you know that victory comes through finding balance in life? Amen. And so we're talking about how much weight you can safely carry and finish your journey and make it to your destination. This morning, I want to talk to you about knowing your limits, the Plimsoll mark. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, he said this, and besides those things that are without, there is the daily inescapable pressure of my care and anxiety for all the churches. How many of you know there is a daily inescapable pressure that comes upon every single one of us with life? Life can get pretty heavy, can it? Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. He said, but take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be what? Weighed down. Plimsoll mark. With carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life and that day come on you unexpectedly. Jesus said that the pressures of life could actually strip us of our spiritual sensitivity, not only to what God is doing right now, but what God is about to do. We could actually miss out on God's movement because we're carrying so much pressure. We're so consumed by the heaviness. Now, there is a heaviness to the situations we face, to the stresses and to the struggles. And Satan is doing his best to overload you and burden you under the pressure until you experience failure in your life. Just like if you overload that ship. He wants us to experience moral failure. He wants us to experience marital failure. He wants us to experience financial failure or relational failure. But can I tell you today that God has already made victory not only possible but probable in your life. If you will learn to deal with the pressures that you're facing right now. Some of you are going through things right now that are pressing on you and you're wondering, how am I going to make it? How is my situation going to change? I need God to show up for me. And the reality, church, is that everyone lives and deals with pressure. The difference is how we handle it. The reality is very simply this, that we all get overloaded. If you've ever been overloaded by life, just wave at me so I know I'm in the right house. Now, if you've ever been overloaded by life, Mandy, then people, everybody sitting out there, because you already heard this in first service, they got to know they're not weak and they're not a freak. You want to tell them they're not weak and they're not a freak?
You're not weak and you're not a freak.
Mandy said it. You're not weak and you're not a freak. You're normal. Let me show you how normal you are. Here's the thing, y'all. The Bible is a compilation of stories and people's lives and how they handled life. Written not just to you, but written for you. Your story is in this book. I'm going to show you how normal you are. How about Moses? Anybody ever heard of Moses? Pretty mighty man of God. Here's what Moses said in Numbers 11, 14, and 15. Moses was real. He said, I can't, what's that word? Carry, plimsoll. All these people by myself. The what? The load is far too. The load is far too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me, he's talking to God, just go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor and spare me the misery. How about Elijah? Heard of Elijah? Mighty, mighty man of God. Had a showdown with the prophets of Baal on the top of Mount Carmel, where he defeated 850 of them, ticked off Jezebel. Jezebel sent a message that by this time tomorrow I'm going to kill you. If I don't, may the gods kill me. The Bible says this about Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Elijah was afraid, fled for his life, went to Beersheba, a town in Judah. He left his servant there. Then he went alone. Somebody say alone. He went alone into the wilderness. Isn't that the way we feel? We go alone and we're walking through the wilderness. Traveling all day, he sat down under a solitary broom tree and he prayed that he might die. And here's what he said, I've had enough. You ever come to a point in your life where you say, I've had enough? I've had enough. How many of you are there today? I've had enough of this. I've had enough of the devil messing with me in this area. He said, take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors. How about Jonah? Even after God gave him victory in the belly of the whale, he began to praise God. That fish yacked him up out on the beach. And he went and preached the gospel, had a mighty revival. He sat down in a puddle of his own tears, pitying himself, and he said, I'd rather be dead. Jeremiah, the mighty prophet, said the same. He said, I wished I was never born. How about David, mighty man of God? Psalm 69:1 says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. David said, I am overwhelmed. I am completely overwhelmed by my situation. I'm completely overwhelmed in my life right now. He said, I'm weary with my crying. He said, I've cried till I have no more strength. He said, my throat is dry. He said, my eyes are failing me while I wait for God. Let me tell you, if you've never been to that point, you will be. If it hasn't happened yet, it'll happen. And when it does, you got to know how to handle it. Mother Teresa said it like this. She said, I know God won't give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. Amen. He said, I won't let you be pressured, tempted, tested beyond what you can bear. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. I love the way this speaks. It says, worry weighs a person down. Plimsoll mark. Worry weighs a person down. Worry pulls us down, but I come with a word of encouragement for you today. And the Bible says an encouraging word cheers them back up. Worry pushes us down, but one word from God is all it takes to pull you back up and propel you over the top of that thing. You ought to give God praise because you're getting that word right now. Worry weighs a person down. In other words, there is a weight to our worry. There is a weight to our worry. Somebody say that with me. There is a weight to our worry. And when you combine the word weight with the word worry, it makes one word and it's weary. Worry and the weight that comes with us makes us weary. It literally wears us out. When the weight of our worry that we're carrying sits on our chest and stares us in the face, and we bear it on our backs, then fatigue and burnout and exhaustion set in. We feel like we're dragging through our days. We go from a place where we used to live, we felt like we were actually alive, to a place where we've started surviving and we're just trying to make it through another moment. We become zombies. And the solution then that we must get to today, the thing that we have to find, is that we have to take a moment and find a place or a person where we can unload the weight of our worry. We can unload the cares of this life. We can get rid of that which is holding us down and pressing us down, because even though there is a weight to life, can I tell you, you don't have to carry it by yourself. As a matter of fact, there are things that God said you don't have to carry at all. I'm going to carry them for you. The problem is we get in the way and we don't let God do what He wants to do. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says this. It says, casting, literally like a baseball player would throw, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties. How many of them? How many of them? Even the ones about your kids? Even the ones about your spouse? Even the ones about your finances? Even the ones about your lost loved ones? Even the ones about your marriage? All your anxieties. All your worries. How many worries? All your concerns. How many concerns? Watch this. Once and for all. How many times? Once and for all. In other words, get rid of them and don't pick them back up. On Him. Who's Him? Jesus. For He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully. Can I tell you today that when we go through times in our life, when we're experiencing anxiety and worry and concern, and the pressure of life is weighing on us, that we begin to feel isolated. We begin to feel like nobody else is there. We begin to feel like nobody else is even watching. We begin to feel like nobody else even notices the pain and the problems that we're going through. Nobody, if I just had somebody else that could see what it is I'm facing, maybe then they could come to my aid. But can I tell you that God has intentionally designed moments like that where He gets you by yourself so that He can get you to yourself? Because when you understand that there's nobody else coming, you look to the only one who can really do something about it to begin with. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. Once and for all on Jesus. I'm not talking about laying them down for a moment and picking them back up. I'm not talking about Kitty having a breakthrough because I'm at church and the anointing is strong and the presence of God is here and I'm surrounded by prayer warriors. But by Tuesday morning, I'm living the same hell I was living on Saturday before I walked in the door. I'm talking about Garrett giving it to God once and for all, because here's the revelation you need today. As long as you hang on to it, He can't work on it. If it's in your hands, it's not in His. But when you open your hand and say, I give it to you, then God begins to move in your situation and He says to you, be still and just watch me work. Watch me do what only I can do. We've got to lay it down. We've got to give it to God. Watch. Maturity is learning what's His part and what's my part. I cannot do His part and He will not do my part. My job is to first give it to Him. His job is to second carry it for me. What am I doing? I'm redistributing the weight of life. I can't change the fact that life is going to lay it on you. Hate to break that to you today, but life is going to lay it on you. The good news is you can lay it on Him. Amen. Stop trying to carry loads that Satan has designed to sink you. We can't afford to be ignorant of the devil's devices. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, we can't afford to be kingdom. Jesus is our burden bearer. Let's say that together. Jesus is our burden bearer. Let's say it again. Jesus is our burden bearer. In other words, he was the one who was designed to carry the load for me. But he will not take it from me. I have to give it to him. Did you get that? The same way I come to the cross, he didn't take my life from me. I gave it to him. And when I did, he could take it and he could work it and he could make something beautiful. He turned my mess into a masterpiece. I've got to take that thing and I've got to lay it at his feet and I've got to give it to him. Jesus is our burden bearer. Let's say it together again. Jesus is our burden bearer. So you got to get it off of you and onto somebody who can do something about it. If I've got a job at the house or I break something and I don't know how to fix it, I'm going to call me somebody who knows what they're doing. You got to get your problem into Jesus' hands. And so the point today is very simply, you've been collecting for too long, and this morning is a moment in your life that God has said it's your time to cast it. Stop collecting what God has called you to cast upon him. I had somebody say to me recently, they were sitting in my office and life had just drained them. And they said, everything in my life is going crazy. Ever been there? Maybe you're there today. And here's what he said. He said, everything is pulling me in a different direction. And here's the problem, Josh, they're all important. What do you do when you're being pulled every which direction and everything that's pulling at you are things that need your attention? And the answer is very simple. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, I want to read it to you from the Message. I found this a few years ago at a time in my life when I was really struggling and worn out and carrying a tremendous load. Y'all need to know that most people in my profession don't make it out very well. 1 in 10, after 10 years, will still be in ministry. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry every month because of the pressure. The majority of them end up in divorce. The majority of them are bound by personal addictions that are private. The majority of their families say ministry is the worst thing that ever happened to us. I know what I'm talking about when I'm telling you this. And here's what God said. And that's not me. I'm not going to be one of them statistics. Amen. Come on, y'all just give God an amen for me. I'm teaching you wisdom. He says, are you tired? Are you tired today? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Now remember what religion is. Religion, Kenny, is man doing for God what only God could ever do for man. Christianity is not religion. Christianity is when God came to us because we couldn't get to him. He did for us what we couldn't do for him. Religion works from earth towards heaven, climbing that stairway to heaven. Christianity, God worked from heaven to earth, and he said it's a free gift, and if it's yours, if you'll just reach out and believe in your heart that I raised my son Jesus from the dead, that he died in your place, if you'll turn from that old life and turn to me, I'll give you something that'll make you never even think twice about what you were living. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Watch. Come to me. Not just the day you got saved, but every day. Jesus says, come to me. He says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. Notice it comes from getting away with God. There are some things he can do in you when you're alone with him that he cannot and will not do at any other point or any other time in your life. He said, I'll show you how to take a real rest. He said, walk with me and work with me. Notice walking with him comes before working for him. He said, watch how I do it. Watch this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. How do I get into those waves of grace? Just like music, note upon note, there is a cadence, there is a flow. How do I step then into the harmony of God's grace in my life? How do I step then into that part of my life with God where everything makes sense and I'm not working for it, but there is a flow of God's life and power into me and through me? Can I tell you today, church, when we think of grace, we think of forgiveness of sins, and that's okay, that's applicable. But grace is literally life fuel. Grace is life fuel. Will you say that today? Say, grace is life fuel. See, Paul said when he was struggling and he was pressured, he begged God three times to take away the source of that pressure, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My life fuel is sufficient for you. You can make it. He said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and rightly. It comes through relationship. There are some of you here today that have experienced so much pressure in the situation you've been facing. So much struggle in that thing that has been wearing you out and weighing on your mind and riding your back, that you say, Josh, I've come to a point where I'm thinking things I never thought I would thought. I'm looking at options that I never even thought I'd be looking at. I can't handle it anymore. I'm drowning. I'm being overwhelmed, and I need some relief. I need God to give me His peace. I want to do what you said today. I want to give it to God once and for all, and I want to experience a breakthrough in my life and a release of His peace that will propel me into His purpose and His destiny for my life. I'm going to ask the front line to join Marsha on the platform, and we're going to sing Amazing Grace, Amazing Life Fuel again in just a moment. But here's my call to every person in this room. God has interrupted this moment of our lives for a reason. And if you're here today, you say, Josh, the water line is above my plimsoll mark. I'm being pressured and pushed down to the breaking point, and I don't want to experience failure. I want to pray for you today. And so I'm inviting you to come and line up across the front of this room right now. Will you come and will you meet me here? If everyone would stand to your feet with me this morning, if that's you, will you come and will you meet me here in the altar? Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Jolene. Thank you all across this room. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you. In the balcony, come. In the balcony, come. We're waiting on you. Come. Once and for all, I want to give it to Jesus. I need a breakthrough today. I'm waiting on you. Is there someone else? Here's the incredible thing, James chapter 5. Michelle says that if we confess our faults to one another, our weaknesses, the areas we're struggling, that we'll be made whole. We'll be made whole. Your healing is on its way today. Larry, if you could help me, let's just make room for them. If I could have some other ushers come. Gentlemen, just usher these right up front here. Let's have one line right across the front. Thank you so much for coming. Church, would you let them know how much you love them today? That you're standing with them. Jesus, we praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here's what we're going to do. Remember what I said, as long as it's in your hands, it's not in God's. The first thing we got to do is we got to release it to Him. In a moment, I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm going to pray for you. And the anointing is going to lift the burden off of your back, and you're going to feel that lightness be restored. I believe God's going to anoint you with His joy that'll be your strength. And it's going to propel you into a place of victory. You're going to know it immediately. But when you walk out of here, it's what I've taught you and what the Holy Spirit's taught you that's going to give you the power to sustain that victory every day of your life. Congregation, nothing we do is a spectator sport. In Acts 16, as Paul and Silas begin to worship God and praise, the Bible says an earthquake shook the building they were in, and everybody's chains fell off in the prison. They were all set free. You might not be praising for yourself today, but would you praise for somebody down here? It'll bring their freedom in this room. I promise you it'll change the atmosphere, and God's going to move in their life today. I want you, if you're down front here with me, to raise your hands as a sign of surrender. Just lift your hands and say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I surrender that thing that has tormented me, that has stressed me, that has created anxiety in me, that I've been worrying about. I give it to you now, once and for all. I acknowledge you can deal with it much better than I can. And I ask you now to flood me with your peace. Renew your vision for my life. Strengthen your purpose in me. I receive your joy, and I declare that I am lovable and I am worth being loved. I receive your love and I receive your victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I just want you to begin to thank God for moving in your situation all across this room as I begin to make my way down this line and pray for you today. It's more than this moment. Do you hear me? Victory is yours. 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 You're not trying to get it. Stop trying to get what he already got for you. Say, victory is mine, and I am his. And the devil has no place. The devil has no place. Come on, if you want him, they're fine. But if you want to serve notice on him, do it. The devil has no place.
That's right.
In my life.
That's right.
Anymore. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing this one time before we go.
Come on, get those hands together.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm extending to you an invitation right now to begin a relationship with a Father in heaven whose arms are open wide. He loves you so much. Maybe you're here today and you walked with God at one time, but the pressures of life crept in, sin crept in and crowded him out. You want to come back home, but you feel like you're too far. You want to come back home, but you feel like you've done too much. Can I tell you today, you haven't done anything he can or won't forgive you of. He's as close as the whisper of his name. I'm going to count to three. And if you're here today, you say, Josh, I want to give my life to Jesus and get right this morning. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Josh, that's me. Just wave at me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there somebody else here today? Just wave at me where I can see you this morning.